Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Read with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
He is a British historian of science with a focus on Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace. He's a research fellow at the National University of Singapore. John Van Wy, and he's written several books on Darwin, but today we're talking about a book he's recently written about one of the first female explorers, Austrian Ida Pfeiffer, born in 1797. At 41, a widow with two grown-up sons living their own lives, Ida Pfeiffer set out to see the world, and she went around the world twice. She was an ethnographer, and her journals were translated into seven languages. She was a member of the Geographical Societies of both Berlin and Paris, but was denied membership by the Royal Geographical Society in London because the society forbade the election of women. Well, it did so before 1913. I am reading Wanderlust, the amazing Ida Pfeiffer, the first female tourist. And it's time to meet the author of the book, John Van Wy. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. So you've written several books on Darwin. You've lectured on evolution, science, religion, history. Why the focus on a housewife who followed her dreams, Ida Pfeiffer?
Well, there was a little bit of overlap with Pfeiffer because I was reading all of the other explorers or travellers who came to Singapore and Southeast Asia at the time that Wallace did in order to complete the picture of his story. And that's how I discovered her, that she had come to Singapore twice. Her books were amazing and I had never heard of her before, so I couldn't stop reading the rest of her books.
So it's really serendipity and pure accident you stumble on Ida Pfeiffer.
Yes. There's a bit of overlap. She was also a collector of natural history specimens. That's one of the ways she made a bit more money to travel around the world, because she, as you said, she was a widow. She has no formal education, and she has no wealth. She has no money.
Yeah.
So she's also the first budget traveler, I would say.
Yeah, I wanted to ask. There's conflicting information out there. Some say Ida was born to a wealthy family. Others say that, you know, she didn't have enormous wealth. How did she fund the solo travel around the world? She didn't have the British EIC Corporation behind her.
No, well, she, as I say, it was budget travel. So, for example, she would travel third class if it was possible. She would take local transport, like camel caravans across the desert with people that she couldn't communicate. She took a Chinese junk when she was in China. Other Europeans, they would always say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's not for you. That's not safe, and so on. And she was so resolute, basically, she was a bit stubborn, that she would always say, no, I'm going to do it anyway.
My kind of woman. So what stood out for you about her story? What was she doing at that time? Was it revolutionary for women to travel?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's why she became such a world class figure. I mean, everyone knew about her. You could read about her traveling exploits in newspapers from Bombay to Sydney, because it had never been done before that a woman traveled the world alone without a male escort. So it was unprecedented. And then she wrote a best-selling book about each of her voyages.
And I find it interesting that you title your book The First Female Tourist, not The First Female Explorer, but Tourist. And you think of a tourist as someone who whizzes through Singapore, has a Singapore sling, and, you know, sleeps in a five-star hotel and then is out again. Why do you choose the word tourist?
With some care, I use the word tourist because a tourist is someone who goes to look at things just because they're interested. They don't have an actual role there. They have nothing to actually do. They just go to see and experience. And that's what she did. She went from place to place. Nowadays, someone would go to a famous building, take a selfie, and move on. So we've gone from when we used to have generations of thrill seekers, we now have a generation of selfie seekers. And Pfeiffer was pretty much the same, although she couldn't take pictures of herself. She would just get to a spot, tick it off the list, and move on. Again and again and again. She was restless. She could never stop.
So she traveled not because she wanted to contribute the world as an ethnographer, which she did because she wrote journals along the way, which were published in many different languages. So her contribution to the world was accidental almost?
Yes, she was writing these books. They were her travel diaries. And she admitted herself that she didn't like the word tourist because it was just coming into use then. And it didn't have quite the same meaning that we use today. But she was quite explicit that she was traveling simply for the pleasure of it and because she couldn't resist seeing new places. And she always had to try to go somewhere where no one had been before, where no European had been before. She was a bit proud of her exploits. I mean, they were amazing. You mentioned in the intro that by the end of her life, she had seen more of the Earth than any woman who had ever lived, which is quite an amazing thing.
It's incredible. She survived storms at sea, parched deserts, plague, malaria, you're right, drowning, earthquakes, murderers, headhunters, and cannibals. What was the most incredible exploit?
Oh, gosh, there's so many to choose from. Perhaps the camel caravan crossing the Middle East, basically with just a local guide who could not communicate with her very well. Or in Brazil, she was exploring the forests and the flowers and so on, and she was attacked by a robber and almost killed. She had a severe knife wound to her shoulder, which she carried with her. And she parried him away with her parasol until the parasol broke. And then in the scuffle that followed, she received the wound. She cut him with her pocket knife. And then some rescuers came galloping around the corner and the robber ran away. It was a dangerous world back then. But she got away with things because she was a woman. She was allowed to go through territories where, say, the tribe would not have tolerated a man, would not have tolerated an explorer. But a middle-aged lady, and she was a quite tiny, frail person, she was absolutely not threatening. So she was allowed to go places where a man would not have been allowed to go.
Oh, making full use of the gift of being underestimated as a woman. Just terrific. And fencing with a parasol along the way. You mentioned at the start she made it here to Singapore?
Yes, twice. Yeah,
Singapore. What did she say about us?
Singapore was one of her favorite places to visit.
And this was early 1800s?
Yeah, this is in the 1840s, 1850s. So she stayed with a German merchant family, and they had a country retreat somewhere. I don't know exactly where it was. So they let her stay in this cabin in the woods where she could collect butterflies and beetles to her heart's content. And she absolutely loved her time, and she visited Pulau Ubin. But she also repeated a common story, which has now become urban legend, which is that the amazing number of 400 people per year were killed by tigers in Singapore. Every traveler who came to Singapore said this. Wallace said it. They were all told this story, but it was never true. Mm. It was more like 20 people, not 400. That's a slight exaggeration. She was not an expert. She didn't do research on the places she went. She just went to see, to experience, and then move on. So she gets a lot of things wrong. She doesn't know what's going on. When she went to China, she told her readers in total naivete, in China, people eat with two little sticks. She'd never heard of chopsticks before.
Wow.
Well, these have been known in Europe for centuries. So she hadn't even read one book that would have given us the basics.
That's really interesting that she didn't see the world as a scientist would, with a scientist rigor. She conveyed her impressions of the world as a travel writer would.
Absolutely, she was a travel writer, but someone who was also interested in science. And she did discover probably hundreds of new species. Many of them were named after her. Because everywhere she went, she had a collecting net and bottles and things. She collected plants and fungi and seaweed and birds and so on. And these were all then shipped back to Europe for sale to museums or private collectors.
That's how she funded her travels?
That's how she funded some of it. But I would say what we could call Pfeiffer's discount is what got her most of her mileage. Because she was so famous. And it was unprecedented that she was a woman traveling alone. She was constantly given free tickets. So, for example, she sailed from South Africa to Singapore for free because the captain of the ship offered to take her. And he wouldn't have done that for a man.
So she was a travel influencer, basically.
Yeah,
she was the first travel influencer.
And as time went on and she became more and more famous, she grew to expect it.
Oh, my.
And when she arrived somewhere, and if the hotel keeper didn't give her a free room or she didn't get a free ticket on a ship, she was quite put out.
She's quite a character. I like what she had to say about Iceland. It wasn't very complimentary at all. She was quite a stickler for cleanliness, shall we say. But I wanted to ask you, you know, in terms of your primary research, you say it was important not just to look at what she said about her travels, because we know people like to blow up what they say about where they've been to. Can you tell us about what other people contributed to the view of Ida you present in this book?
In order to round off the picture, I had to try and find any evidence of her written by other people who met her along the way. And very often people did write about this. They would write in their letters or they would write in the local newspaper, the famous traveler, Ida Pfeiffer was here and she said this and she did that. So sometimes we can get descriptions from another perspective. For example, some American missionaries in the Middle East who were astonished. She just showed up on their doorstep one night in the middle of nowhere. And she stayed with them for a couple of days. And they later wrote a long newspaper letter about her stories. And they said she claimed that she cut three fingers off the robber in Brazil, which she doesn't say in her book. So I think she was telling a tall tale.
Oh, my. Why do you think the world has little idea of who Ida Pfeiffer, the world's first female tourist, is? She was so famous in her time. Why has history forgotten her until this book?
Well, she's been written about before by German language authors, particularly around the time of her centenary in 1997. But this is the fate of all fame. Everyone who is famous today will be forgotten in 100 years. It is inevitable. They're no longer being reported in the newspapers. There's no more new stories about them. And so their fame trails off. There are very few famous figures in history who just cling on to their fame posthumously. So it's exactly as I would expect, that she went from being so famous. She died very unexpectedly on her last voyage, one voyage too many. She got involved in an attempted palace coup against the Queen of Madagascar. Quite inadvertently.
What's life without a little intrigue, right?
Yes. Well, she was duped by this dodgy French businessman who took her along to make his stay look more innocent. And then she got caught, embroiled in it, and they were almost executed. And they were death marched out of the country through all the swamps, and she caught a terrible fever. They called it the Madagascar fever. And although she made it back to Austria, she died from it. So, as I say at the end of the book, Wanderlust killed her in the end.
Just incredible. What do you hope, John, to contribute to the world's understanding of Ida through your book, Wanderlust?
Well, I just want to remind the world of this extraordinary person and her extraordinary stories. She's particularly unknown to an English-speaking audience. So what I've done is introduce her to the English-speaking world in this book.
Well, it's tremendously accessible and very enjoyable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
He's John Van Wy, and I'm reading Wanderlust, The Amazing Ida Pfeiffer, the first female tourist.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.